Welcome to the Deep Dive. We've got some fascinating stuff to unpack today. We're looking at some pretty detailed research reflections and notes from an investigator dated March 20th, 2025. It started as an investigation into the economic impact of how cities invest in youth sports facilities right here in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's uncovered something much bigger.
Absolutely. It really has. That's how these things work, right?
Yeah.
You pull on one thread and it just unravels this whole, like, tapestry of interconnected issues.
Right.
In this case, the focus has shifted from just looking at those economic returns to examining some really critical issues around how local governments manage the finances and oversight of these youth sports programs, which we all know they're so important to our communities.
They are incredibly important. So our mission today is to really dig into these key findings about the failures and oversight at the city level and some really surprising financial discrepancies that have been found, and think about what this all means for these community-based programs. So let's start with something that might seem like a small detail, but it really has a big impact, and that's the practice of paying umpires in cash.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, the research actually uncovers this seemingly routine thing of paying umpires in cash has some pretty big implications.
Yeah.
Especially when you contrast it with how different youth sports organizations compensate their officials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like local groups like the YMCA or Boys and Girls Clubs, those places, they tend to pay umpires an hourly rate, maybe $13 to $15 an hour.
Oh, right. Much more typical.
But then you have this other side, this culture in competitive youth sports.
Right.
Where umpires are routinely paid $40, $50, $65 per game.
Or game.
Wow. And a lot of it in cash. So on the surface, you know, it might seem like, oh, well, they're just trying to attract the best umpires. But the research is suggesting that there are some unintended consequences to this practice.
Well, yeah, because now you're putting those smaller community-focused groups at a huge disadvantage.
Exactly.
They can't compete with those higher cash rates.
They just don't have the resources.
And so, I mean, that's a fairness issue, right? It seems like it's creating an uneven playing field.
Absolutely. It really limits access to qualified officials for the programs that might need them the most. It almost feels like a system that's tilted in favor of the programs that have more resources already.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's maybe at the expense of broader access to quality youth sports.
Right, right. And this is what led the investigator to explore this larger trend, this the rise of these competitive showcase events, right?
Exactly, yeah. The research sort of started revealing this picture of how these large-scale showcase baseball and softball tournaments are really starting to change the local youth sports scene.
Yeah.
And while, you know, they might bring in some tourist money, they might boost the local economy a little bit, the concern is they could be pulling resources, both financial and just attention, away from those core municipal leagues that serve a broader cross-section of kids.
And that makes sense because these showcases become the big draw. They have the resources, they have the marketing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the local leagues struggle to stay viable, which brings up the question of oversight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are our cities entering into these agreements with these sports organizations?
Right.
Is there enough transparency around these deals?
Yeah, that's a huge question.
So let's dive into our first case study, the situation in the city of Moore.
Okay, yeah, Moore. This is where the investigator's work starts to really focus on specific instances where there might be, like, gaps in oversight. So in Moore, city officials, they actually did have some concerns about the main youth baseball provider, the Moore Youth Baseball Association.
The MYBA.
Right, MYBA. They even went through this whole formal bidding process, an RFP, and ended up renewing MYBA's lease.
But like we often see, the story doesn't end there. There's more to it.
Yeah, there's more. Mm-hmm. And that's where the investigator really starts to uncover some significant discrepancies.
Right.
A substantial amount of money. $770,000 in fees from these USSA tournaments. That had been processed through the Buck Thomas Complex.
Which is a city facility.
Right, right. A city facility.
Yeah.
But it was completely left out of Moore's official financial reports.
So unreported.
Essentially, yeah.
That's a big deal.
And it really raises questions about, like, accountability and transparency.
Right.
Where's that money? What happened to it?
Yeah, that's public money.
Right.
And to make it even more concerning, when they did a manual audit, like a really deep dive, for the years 2016 to 2024, the total is even bigger.
Oh, it's way bigger.
Yeah.
They found a total of $1.3 million in USSA tournament entry fees.
Wow.
And what's really interesting is the structure that the investigator found. You had these tournament directors who were also sitting on the boards of 501c organizations.
Nonprofit,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So they're acting as like intermediaries.
Yeah.
And it seems like this allowed them to operate a bit outside the regular scrutiny of the main organizations. And the city was pretty much in the dark about the scale of all this financial activity happening right under their noses.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got these nonprofits, but there's a lack of transparency, a lack of oversight.
Uh-huh. And then you add to that, you know, MYBA, they reportedly failed to even meet their lease obligations in 2022 and 2023.
That's just adding insult to injury at that point.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, were there proper checks and balances in place?
Yeah, you have to wonder.
To make sure these organizations were actually fulfilling their agreements.
Right.
And being transparent about their finances. It doesn't seem like it.
No. And it's not just Moore, right? We see similar issues in Choctaw.
Oh, yeah. Similar story. Choctaw, same time frame, 2016 to 2024.
Yeah.
Audit reveals even more.
Yeah.
$2.1 million in those USSA tournament entry fees flowing through their facilities. But the real concern, the real issue here is it doesn't seem like that money was being put back into those sports complexes.
So wait, you're telling me the city's facilities are generating revenue, but that revenue isn't going back into maintaining or improving those very facilities?
It doesn't appear so.
So it's just, it seems like a missed opportunity.
Oh, right, right. A big one. Mm-hmm. And they also found this interesting thing in Choctaw. They called it like two tiers of tournament directors. On the one hand, you have your like established business people, and then you have these local directors who are kind of leveraging these city-owned facilities.
Mm.
And this structure, according to the research, it could create a situation where a few individuals or entities have a lot of control over how these public sports complexes are being used.
Right.
And the worry is they might be directing the financial benefits away from the community.
Right. So it's not really benefiting the community, the kids, the families.
Yeah.
It's more like enriching a select few.
That's the worry. And then we move to Shawnee. And oh boy, Shawnee. It seems like the issues there go beyond just the financial stuff. There are concerns about safety, even how the city manages public land.
Uh-huh.
So let's start with those safety concerns at the Lions Club ball fields.
Yeah. So this is after the tornado, right?
The 2022 tornado.
Yeah, 2022. These historic fields,
uh-huh,
they stayed open for more than a year, despite some pretty obvious safety risks.
More than a year.
And the investigators' notes, they actually go into detail about the repeated attempts to raise this issue with the city. Public meetings, emails to city council members. They even tried to schedule meetings with city management. Nothing. No real response.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty alarming. You'd think safety would be a top priority.
You would think.
You know, prompt action.
Right.
But it seems like those concerns were just ignored.
For over a year.
Yeah. And then, you know, the assistant city manager resigned right after discussions about this very issue.
That's a red flag if I've ever seen one. Yeah, yeah.
Makes you question the priorities of the city administration, right?
And what's going on internally.
Yeah, yeah. But it doesn't stop there. The land under the Lions Club ball fields.
Ah, the land.
It was transferred to Shawnee by the federal government under something called an instrument of transfer, IOT.
Right.
And these IOTs, they usually come with specific rules about how that land can be used. Like, they have to assess fair market value for any leases or sales.
Right.
But that doesn't seem to have happened here.
No. 9.2 acres sold to Oklahoma Baptist University for $200,000. And the research suggests that that price was way below market value.
Way below.
And then they sold the little theater for $12,000.
That's it.
Again, below market value. So you're talking about public assets, potentially with restrictions on how they could be used or transferred.
Right.
Being sold at a huge discount.
So what's the impact of that for the city?
Well, think about it this way. They essentially lost out on potential revenue.
Right.
Long-term revenue.
Mm-hmm.
If they had leased or sold those properties at their actual value, that's money that could have been used to support other city services.
Right.
Maybe even youth sports programs.
Right.
It's a significant loss.
It is. And then on top of that, there's this whole issue with the lease agreements.
Yeah.
Like the one with the Continental Barbershop.
Oh, yeah. That lease went from $80 a month to either $300 or $500 a month.
Oh, that's a big jump.
A huge jump. And the reason they gave, to cover city maintenance costs.
Wait, so are you saying that the city was essentially subsidizing a private business using taxpayer money?
That's what it looks like.
Wow. And this might not even be an isolated incident.
No, no.
The research suggests a pattern of these lease agreements being given to the same small group of people over and over without any kind of open bidding process.
Yeah. So you have to wonder about conflicts of interest.
Right. Especially since, you know, city council members have historically held or benefited from some of these leases. So it's like this system where personal connections are influencing decisions about public resources.
Yeah. And potentially at the expense of the community.
Right. Exactly. And this isn't new in Shawnee.
No, no, no. The investigator dug way back. Between 1998 and 2007, there was this whole regional park project funded by a sales tax. Voters approved it. The city spent money on planning, picking a site, and then nothing.
They just never built it.
Never built it.
After they spent taxpayer money on the planning.
Right. Discussions just stopped around 2011.
Wow. What a failure of accountability. And it's not just the park, right? More recently, we see this pattern again with some capital projects. Financing approved at inflated interest rates.
Yeah, like 4.25% when the market rate was more like 3.25, 3.5.
That's a big difference.
Huge.
Especially on big projects.
And they didn't even go through a competitive bidding process to get those rates.
That's just bad financial management. It's costing taxpayers money.
It really is.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting is back in the mid-2000s, the city consolidated its loans and it saved millions of dollars.
So they know how to do it right.
They do.
Yeah.
It's possible. But they haven't been consistent.
Right, right. And there were elections recently, right?
Yeah.
New council members.
New mayor. But these issues with the lease agreements.
Still there.
Still there. They haven't been addressed.
So even with new leadership, the system is still broken.
Seems to be. And now you see youth sports programs moving outside of Shawnee. That's a major consequence. It's impacting kids and families. They have fewer options.
Right, right. And what about that upcoming countywide education tax?
Oh, yeah, this is interesting. It's about the use of school facilities.
Uh-huh. For USSA events, basketball leagues.
Right, yeah. Right. So the concern is that this new tax intended for education might actually end up subsidizing these private tournaments or ventures that are using school facilities.
Right.
Without any clear benefit to the school system.
So public funds potentially going to private interests again.
Yeah. It's another thing to watch closely.
It is. It is. Now, the investigator also draws a parallel with that USSA lawsuit in Florida.
Oh, right, right. That one's a big deal. It's actually a federal case, but it's really relevant here.
How so?
Well, that lawsuit was started by whistleblowers, and it's exposing a lot of the same problems. Governance failures, lack of financial transparency within USSSA at the national level. So it suggests that what's happening in Oklahoma isn't an isolated thing. It's part of a broader pattern.
Wow. So the problems here, they're really a reflection of larger issues.
Yeah, it seems that way.
So what are some of the root causes of these problems?
Well, the investigator uses this term, municipal ignorance.
Municipal ignorance.
Yeah, it's a bit provocative, but it kind of gets the point across.
Right.
The idea is that as people who used to be parks and rec directors move into more senior roles in city government, they might be bringing outdated models of governance with them.
Hmm, interesting. And they also point out that some people in city management positions don't have a lot of experience with finance.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
If you're going to be overseeing city finances, you need to have the expertise to do it well.
Absolutely.
Now, back to Shawnee, those IoT land deals.
Yeah. There's a real possibility of legal action there.
From who?
The airport authority. They have a big stake in how that land is used.
Right.
They could sue to get back the lost revenue from those undervalued leases. Their argument would be that the city didn't follow the rules of the instrument of transfer.
So that could have huge financial consequences for Shawnee down the road.
It could.
It really shows how bad decisions in the past can lead to instability in the future.
It does. The investigator is really clear about that. Those past decisions have eliminated potential revenue for the city, and that's likely contributed to the challenges they're facing now.
Yeah. So what's next for the investigator?
Well, they're focusing on finishing that financial study of USSA transactions, specifically from 2016 and 2017.
Okay. To really trace the money, see how much cities knew, how involved they were.
Exactly. And the core of their work is about transparency, oversight, accountability. Those are the big themes.
So for our listeners today, this deep dive has uncovered some serious problems in how cities in Oklahoma are overseeing and managing the money involved in youth sports.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It is.
From cash payments for umpires to all those unreported tournament fees, questionable land deals.
Right.
it affects everyone.
Yeah, these community programs, taxpayer dollars, it's important stuff.
It is.
So it makes you think, what about your own community? What are the agreements like there?
Right.
Do you know how those programs are being run? Is there enough oversight?
It's a good question to ask.
Yeah, and think about this. What happens when money becomes more important than making sure these programs are fair and accessible for all kids?
Right.
What happens to the integrity of youth sports?
It's something we need to be talking about. So we hope this deep dive has given you some things to think about.
That'd be great.
What questions should you be asking your local officials? Make sure those games our kids play are being run the right way.
Absolutely.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us.